know that God loves you. And I think about a day as each day as I study my word or God's word, I get a chance to talk with God. And then whenever I'm praying, I'm talking with God. He's talking with me by reading his word. And then when I come to church, I get to be around God's people. What other better blessing could you have in life than that? I just thank the Lord so much. We're entering into a new church here in just a few weeks. And I know this past year or past 2 years, we've had a lot of setbacks. We have a lot of people have been sick. We know some have passed away in death. But we just know the Lord is going to just keep blessing us in a very special way. And we know that a lot of us are probably close to the end of our last row. I always remember when I was out in that old field and you get hot and you get tired and maybe there'd be a few more rows and a few more rows and a few more rows and it seemed like you wouldn't ever make it. And then after a while, there's that last row. You see, that's the way time is in life. You see, there's a few more rows and it seemed like that you're not going to make it through so many trials and difficulties in life. Then before long, you look around and you can see, as most of us and a lot of us can see, we're already on our last row. And it won't be very long before a lot of us will be at the end of that last row. But we know that we don't have to worry because Jesus Christ will be their witness. And we know that we need to strengthen our roots. And one way is with the Word of God, and we might need to stand for Him more than we've ever stood for Him before in our life. And so in Acts chapter 7, we're going to be talking about a man named Stephen. This man named Stephen, he was on the scene, the page of history in chapter 6 and also in chapter 7 and just about fades off the scene for just a little while. That's the way life is. James says our life is like a vapor that appears for a little while and it passes away. As you look back upon your life and your family life, your forefathers, maybe your mothers and your fathers, and you see how that life was on the scene and just a vapor. You knew them a little while, and they're not with you no more. They faded away. Look into our own life, and we can understand those that are older than me and older. You can understand what James says, that this life is just a vapor. If you live to be 100 years, it just seemed like it passes away so very fast. Well, Stephen was on the scene and is off the scene. Stephen, in chapter 6, we find out that he was called one of those deacons, and he was the first deacon that called, or one of the first deacons that was called, but it said he was full of the Holy Spirit. And he began to work wonders and miracles because that he was full of the Holy Spirit. Now we know that chapter 7, whenever he began to do this, the Sadducees, the high priest, the religious leaders did not like him teaching and preaching in the name of Jesus Christ and doing these great miracles. And they decided that they would capture him as they did Jesus, and they would put him under the stone and stone him to death. But he decided that he would go and do what God called him to do, and he'd stand for Jesus Christ. And he began all through chapter 7 as a sermon that Stephen preached. All chapter 7, that is a great sermon, probably one of the greatest sermons is in our New Testament. And he preached to that religious bunch of people that had the power to put him to death and tell him that they are the very ones that rejected Jesus Christ. He went all the way back to Abraham when the Jews was first called and brought them right up to the date that they crucified Jesus Christ, and now they had the power to crucify him. Well, standing, learning how to stand, and learning how to stand that we need to strengthen our roots. I think it's a great pleasure and honor that we have the number that we have on Wednesday night, because the more that we have on Wednesday night, the more that we have on Sunday, any time that we're meeting in the name of Jesus Christ, the more power that we have together, and we thank you. But there come a time when you and I might have to stand alone. But whenever we put Jesus Christ, we won't have to worry about standing alone, because Jesus Christ will stand with us. But the closer that we get to the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and I can see things happening and it's lighting up very fast. I don't know when it might be, but either the opposition is sharpening. I also know that hostility is engaging in every area of the Christian life, more vicious and more furious than it's ever been before. And I'm going to tell you, you're going to have to learn to stand, and you may have to stand alone. You need to stand alone. And to do this, we need to strengthen our roots. Strengthen our roots. So the end of his sermon in chapter 7, we find out what these religious leaders thought about his sermon as he talked to them, how they have rejected all the prophets, how they rejected God the Son and crucified him, and how they rejected his word. And then it says in 54, chapter 7 of 54, when they heard these things, the preaching of him, they were cut to the heart and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being filled with the Holy Ghost, looked steadfast into heaven and saw the glory of God, Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, and ran upon him with one accord, and cast him out of the city, and stoned him. And the witness laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul, later to come Paul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the power of thy word. Lord, we thank you for the Spirit of God that carries it to our heart. Father, we just want to thank you, Lord, for letting us understand that they people, Lord, that stands for you all the time. And Father, as we look back in the pages of time of the history of the Word of God, we see how people have stood for you. And God, the day that we need to stand for you, and God, we just ask you, Lord, to help us, Lord. God, to give us that strength and that faith that we need, oh God, from time to time that we need to stand for you. Lord, we know that this old world is getting darker all the time. Father, we pray that you might increase our light, that we might be able to shine in this dark and weary world. Father, we thank you, Lord, this hour, Lord, the people is here. And Father, we pray that, Lord, the numbers might multiply, knowing that they need to worship the Savior before long, that they will stand before. Lord, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that we have in this life, for the salvation plan, God, that you brought it down to mankind. Knowing, Father, that we could not save ourselves. There's no way, Lord, that we could ever, Lord, measure up to you, Jesus. But Father, for your grace and your mercy, Lord, that you was willing to die on the cross. Lord, that we wouldn't have to die eternally. And Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for that privilege that we can look out upon this great salvation, the Lord that you have given us. And Father, help us, oh God, to be the people that you have us to be, to stand that one more person might come to know you as Lord and Savior. It might be here this hour, Father, that lives are changed. Father, it might be the night, Father, that lives are changed and souls are saved. Father, we just pray, God, to allow us to be part of this great day. Thank you for the privilege we have as children of God, that, Lord, we might carry the Word of God, Lord, to this world. Father, forgive us, Lord, that we have not done, God, everything that we should be doing in the name of Jesus Christ here at this church. But, Father, we want to thank you for the blessings that you blessed us with and continues to bless us with because of who you are and not what we are. And we just want to thank you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Strengthening in our roots. I really do believe that's what we need. In Ephesians 6 and 13 says, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in evil days, and having done all, to stand. I believe we need to learn to stand the day. If there's ever been a day that we need to stand, I believe it is today. Our job and our duty and our privilege is to stand for Jesus Christ as Christians, to let people know that we are Christians. I read an old story about a tree one time. This great, beautiful tree had beautiful limbs, shaped mighty, mighty beautiful. Oh, it was a very beautiful tree. But that tree knew that there was something wrong down on the inside. Well, the great storm began to grow and off on the sea and headed towards the place where that great tree stood. That great tree said, well, I know what I'll do. I'll grow me some more branches so I'll be more beautiful for the world to see. So that storm come and that tree began to blow. And after a while, that tree heard the cracks of the roots down deep and knowing its time was over. If it hadn't been for a neighboring tree that limbed upside of that tree and held that tree up all through the storms, that tree would not be able to be blown over.
After the storm was over, that tree began to wonder. And it said to the neighboring tree, I thank you so very much by standing side of me, because without you, he said, I'd have been blowing over and fell on the dirt and been all over for me. But he said, I want to ask you a question. How it is that you stood the test of these storms and you didn't blow over, but yet you even helped me from blowing over? He said, well, he said, while you was trying to grow more branches and more limbs and more leaves on your tree, he said, I was strengthening my roots. I believe, Pleasant Hill, that we need to strengthen our roots. Sometimes we try to do too much. Sometimes we put on more programs. You know, sometimes we put on more classes. Sometimes we try to do more and more for Jesus Christ when we need really to strengthen the roots that we already have in Christ Jesus. And a lot of times it is the same thing for individuals today. Sometimes we try to do more for Jesus Christ in an individual life, and we try to do things that, Lord, maybe that we don't have enough of a root system to support what we're really trying to do. So this tree understood this, and I hope that we do today to understand that you need to strengthen your roots. This man, Stephen, understood what it means to strengthen his roots. So we know that in John 17 and 17 says, sanctify thyself through thy word. Thy word is truth. The word that we need to be sanctified ourselves. But also we need to grow. It says in 1 Peter 2 and 2, as newborn babes desiring to send milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Also it's by the word of God we have this faith. Romans 7 and 17 says, so faith come by the hearing, and the hearing by the word of God. Perhaps someday, if we'll do what God tells us to do as a church, perhaps someday, if we'll do what God has told us to do as an individual, maybe we can grow some new branches, and maybe we can put on some more programs, and maybe you can do more for God than you ever done before. But before you do this, I know you what you need to understand, and me too today, that we need to strengthen our roots as a church. And I really do believe that's what's one of our problems with our nation, and we need to strengthen our roots of our nation in Christ Jesus. And we need to strengthen our roots today in this church here. It's called Pleasant Hill Baptist Church. And every member of this church needs to strengthen our roots before we try to reach out and grow new branches and new areas of our church life, that we need to strengthen the ones that God has already gave us today, and also your family today. So as we think about this today, Stephen, he knew and learned what it was to stand alone. One of these days, God might call you to stand alone, but he's called us to stand together. But one of these days, you may be one of these people that has to stand up for Jesus Christ. It might be on your job. It might be in school, young people. It might be in college. It might be in your business, that one of these days that God has called you to stand because of the power and the evil of this world is increasing every day. Well, this Stephen, he understood being one of the deacons in chapter 6 as they chose him out. Chapter 6 and verse 8, it says, and Stephen, full of faith and power, did wonders and miracles among the people. And then it says, and they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. Stephen, as he spoke, and he spoke like Jesus Christ when he's going to his death, he was full of the Holy Spirit of God. You need to be full of the Spirit of God. That's one way that we need to strengthen our roots, is being full of the Spirit of God. What does it mean to be full of God today? Well, God is a Trinity that you know. God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. And they said he was full of the Spirit. Do you know what that means today? That means that he was full of God. If we strengthen our roots to stand as we ought to stand as a church, and we stand, we ought to stand as an individual, as you stand as your family, and you fathers are the head of that family, you need to be full of God. I'm telling you, if you're full of God, that will take care of your root system today. In a church, we need to be full of God, each and every one of us today, with this wisdom and the power to be full of God. Now, you see, we'll never really learn to stand for God until we learn that we need to strengthen our roots. We'll never be able to stand alone as a Christian until we strengthen our roots. We ought to be conscious now of being filled with the Spirit of God. Now, some people think it's just for a few to be filled with God, just for a few to be filled with the Spirit of God. Maybe it's just for the preacher. Maybe, you know, it's just for the teachers in your Sunday school class. Maybe it's just for the missionaries that comes and goes to other people. Maybe it's just for the singers that comes and sings these special, beautiful songs, you know, as they sung today. Maybe it's just for those very few people. But I'm telling you, that's not what the Word of God says. The average Christian, man, not be filled with the Holy Spirit, but the normal Christian is filled with the Holy Spirit. The normal Christian is full of the Holy Spirit. A shoeshine boy was shining shoes one day. A man came up, asked for a shoeshine, and said, "Yes, sir." He got through shining shoes. His son, "How much a tip is the average tip that people give you?" He says, $1. Old man says, "Oh, it's a little bit high, but I'll go ahead and give it to him anyway." And so he handed the shoeshine boy that dollar tip, and the little boy scratched his head. He says, "Sir, you're the first man that ever come up to the average." You see? The average. Y'all know what the average is? I'm talking about the normal Christian. It may not be the average Christian, but the normal Christian is full of the Holy Spirit of God. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 39, the promise is unto you and to all your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God has called. And then there is a command. That's for you and for your children, all that's saved. And there's a command in Ephesians 5 and 18 says, "And be not drunken with wine, wherein in excess, but be you filled with the Spirit." That is a command to every child of God. A lost person is never commanded to be baptized with the Holy Spirit of God, but a saved person is commanded to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. That is the norm for Christianity. That is the norm for Christian, to be full of the Spirit of God. The normal Christian, to be filled with the Spirit of God. If you're saved, you have the Spirit of God. Romans 8 and 9 says, "But if you are not in the, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." If you do not have the Spirit this morning, you are a lost person today. You must have the Spirit of God to be saved. When you're saved, the Holy Spirit comes as a resident into your heart. But when you feel the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit becomes a president on over your whole body. One thing to have the Holy Spirit, it's another thing for the Holy Spirit to have you. And that all talks about abiding in Christ Jesus. He controls your life whenever you are full of the Holy Spirit of God. Acts chapter 6 and verse 3, "Wherefore, brothers," he says, as they begin to look out for their deacons and check them out, "look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom you may appoint over this business." When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you're going to be filled with wisdom. Three things that Stephen had. He had the wisdom, and he had the power, and he had the faith. And you see, these three things today, if you want to be able to stand, if you want to strengthen your roots as a person, and this church and every other church needs to strengthen their roots before they move out and try to grow other branches, they need to have these three things on their mind. They need the wisdom and the power and the faith that God only gives them by the filling of the Holy Spirit of God to strengthen our roots. To stand alone, we need to be filled. We need to be filled with the Spirit of God. It says now that he was able to do this. He was filled with wisdom to speak for Christ. You, myself, today, you're going to be called to be speaking for Christ. You may not be a preacher. You may not be a teacher. But every day that God is going to be calling on you, give you an opportunity to speak for Christ. He was done this. He was called to speak for Christ. It says there in chapter 6 and 10, they were not able to resist the wisdom and the Spirit by which he spoke. In chapter 7, as I told you, there's a sermon. You need to go home and read this sermon. It is a very, very beautiful sermon. It gives the history of the nation of Israel from the time that Abraham was in a place called the Chaldeans, a place where they worshiped the moon and the sun gods. And God spoke to him out of that place and called him out of that place. And Stephen, as that chapter gives the unfold of our great man they called Abraham, the father of all of our faith, we find out he was there worshiping sun gods and moon gods. And God appeared unto our father Abraham, he says, as he began to speak for them. He says that God called him out of that place and he called him to a land that was flowed with milk and honey. He says, "I'm going to give you a land," he says, "and your descendants are going to be so many that nobody can number them. They're going to be the sands of the sea, and they're going to be like the stars of heaven. You're going to have so many people." And he says, "All the world is going to be blessed because of what I'm going to do for you. All your children and your grandchildren and on out through the centuries." And that time, Abraham had no children. As he began to journey his life, he still had no children. And then after a while, you know that God gave him a child. His name was Isaac. He tried to do it another way with Ishmael, but God gave him that son called Isaac. And old Stephen kept on telling him. And then Isaac come along. And then Jacob come along. And then he says, you know, Isaac and Jacob in the 12 tribes. Jacob had 12 sons. The 12 tribes of the nation of Israel. And he says, you know, there was a hunger and famine in that land of Canaan. And they went down to a court they called Egypt because there was corn in Egypt. Because their son Joseph had got sold in that land. Went ahead of them and made a preparation that God had blessed him. And they went down into Egypt to keep from starving to death. So they went down into Egypt. There were 70 people that went down to Egypt. And then you see they stayed for 400 years in that place called Egypt. And then there rose up a Pharaoh that knew not Joseph. And they was under bondage there for a long time. It said that God heard their cries. And then a man come on the scene called Moses. And through Moses, God delivered his children out of the nation of that Israel, a nation of that Egypt. And then they wandered through the wilderness, opened up that Red Sea. They come through that wandering wilderness. They went to Mount Sinai. God gave the nation Israel the Ten Commandments. God gave the nation Israel the scriptures. He began to speak for Christ. He began to speak about the scriptures that God had given the nation of Israel. Reason we have this Bible today, because he gave this to the Jew nation. This was an Israelite Bible. This book here came to them. It was also in Hebrew. It was in the Greek in the New Testament. And God gave it to the Jews. And we allowed us as Gentiles to have the Word of God because of translation that we can read it today. But God gave them the scriptures there on Mount Sinai, the Ten Commandments, and all the prophets began to tell from time to time what God wants us to do and what God intended for this world to do. And he kept on telling them what God had done for them and what God had done for them. And he sent them prophet after prophet after prophet after prophet, and they did not believe their prophet. They tried to kill the prophet until finally one day he sent his son Jesus Christ. He said, and not many days before, you know what you've done to Jesus Christ, this same bunch that I'm talking to, you Pharisees, you scribes, I'm going to tell you what, you religious leader today, you're the one, the Holy One of God that God has sent through the nation, that God had promised Abraham that they would be a man, that all the world would be blessed through this man, and this man is Jesus Christ. This man is the Lord of glory, which you crucified and which one you put to death. This same Jesus Christ that I'm talking about today, and he's the one that you crucified, and he's the one that you put to death. Now he's there before the tribe. I mean, he's there before the council, and they had the power to put this man to death for speaking this way. He was already there before them because he worked miracles and signs in the name of Jesus Christ. And then they brought him before that council, but they didn't close up old Stephen's mouth. He began to stand, and there was nobody else there to stand with him, and he stood alone. Why? Because I'm going to tell you what, he was filled with the wisdom of God to speak for Christ. He was full of power to stand for Christ, and I'm going to tell you, he was full of faith to suffer for Christ. And then you know what, they ran on him and they put him to death. They took stones and they took him out and they stoned Stephen to death. Now that is what happened in chapter 7, because he learned one thing, to be able to speak for Christ and to be able, you know, to stand for Christ and to be able to suffer for Christ. These same things might happen to you. We're living in a day of hostile territory, and I'm going to tell you, the Christian today is the ones I'm going to tell you become under fire. Any other religion of the world is all right. When you say Christianity, when you talk about Jesus Christ, even the nation that you and I are living in today, I'm going to tell you what, we're coming under hot fire from this world, and more of this world are going to be pointed towards us all the time. If you go to Psalms chapter 2, you will find out what this nation is going to be like in a few years. The nation of this world will make war against God. You'll not find out too many Christians around. One of these days that Jesus Christ is going to come, he's going to come back for his church. He's coming, and I'll tell you what, he's coming soon. I see it lining up. If there's anybody that has any knowledge of the working of the knowledge of the Word of God itself, can see that. I don't know how soon it's going to be, but things are lining up too quick. I'm going to tell you, it says that these last days he's going to do a quick work. He's doing a quick work today in the lives that you're living in, and to see what's happening upon our country and the world this day. It's lining up so much faster than I ever realized could happen in my lifetime. You always thought that Jesus Christ was going to come back. You always knew that Jesus Christ was going to come back in my lifetime. No, not never thought it would be in my lifetime. But I believe the day it could very possibly be in my lifetime. The way things are changing and how things are happening and things are growing so fast, till one of these days that I might have to stand, and I might have to stand alone for my faith in Jesus Christ today. He gave him everything that they need to talk about. He talked about the scriptures, and he talked about the sanctuary, how God had given the nation of Israel Israel the sanctuary. You see, there was no place on the face of this earth, there was nowhere that mankind could go and worship a holy God. God is holy, and every man on the face of this earth, every mankind on the face of this earth is come into this world into sin. When Adam and Eve sinned, they passed it on to everybody. God is a holy God, and He cannot look upon sin. He cannot come in contact with sin because He's a holy God. What in the world is the people of this world going to do? They need some way that they can reach up to God. They need some way they can reach down the man. Oh, Job said, "Where is that day, man? I need somebody to go between my holy God and myself." You know what happened? God says, "I will make me a place. I'll make me a tabernacle." Also in chapter 7, we find out in chapter 7 that God gave Moses all the things they need to make what they call the tabernacle. That was a place, a tent. That was where they could carry this tent from place to place. When the nation of Israel moved, they took up that tabernacle and it moved with them. But what was this tabernacle? It was a picture of Jesus Christ. Everything about that tabernacle pictured Jesus Christ. But most of all, what it was a place called the Holies of Holies. Whenever the Holy God can come down and meet with mankind, there was nowhere else on the face of this great planet Earth with all the people of the world and all the nations of the world could ever come in contact with this holy God. They did not know God. They did not know the holy and righteous God. They knew there was something different. They knew there was a great power, but they did not know God. If God did not reveal Himself to you, you would be in the same shape as the rest of the people of the world today. God chose to reveal Himself through a man called Jesus Christ. He chose to reveal Himself through the Scriptures and the Word of God. He chose to reveal Himself through the very heavens that's above us this day. But these people had never had an opportunity. The nations of the world never had an opportunity to come in contact with the Holy God. But the nation Israel that God chose, the apple of His eye, not because they was great, not because they'd done a lot of good work, not because they believed and there was righteous no other people in the world, it because of God Himself said, "I will put My name upon that nation of Israel and all the people of the world, all the nations of the world, I know that I'm God and they are no other, because they'll see the power that I'm working through this nation. They'll see the power of the miracles that I've done of this nation, and I'll keep on doing them. I'll keep on doing them until I draw all nations to Me." This was an idea that God had. This is the program that God had, that He would be so great and so blessed this nation Israel till all the other nations of the world could come in. And old Stephen says, "He gave you the tabernacle in the wilderness that no other nation could have. No other nation could meet with this holy God. God chose to reveal Himself to this nation Israel because of who God is." So they walked through the wilderness for 40 years. And then when they got into their promised land, you know, David wanted to build God a house that wouldn't be able to be moved around. He says, "No, you can't build Me a house. You are a man of war. Your son will build Me a house." So Solomon built the first temple. But then the Jews made a mistake. They knew that they had the onlyest place. They knew this. They knew they had the onlyest place that they could offer sacrifice for sin. The nation Israel, there was no other place in the world for a mankind, no matter who he was, no matter if he was even a Jew, there was no other place for a person to come to get forgiven except to the temple of the Most High God. That's the onlyest place on the face of this great earth that a man can be forgiven for his sin, because God made this temple there, and the onlyest place that God will ever meet with a mankind was there in that holy of holies, that temple, and everything had to do just exactly what God said had to be done for God to accept the sacrifice of sin forgiven for one more year, for all the blood that was shed, for all the animals that was shed, for thousands and millions of animals, for all the years for this temple stood, they had to be blood shed, and it was a covering. It was called atonement. It wasn't like it was for us today. It was called atonement because, you see, that blood, when that person went into that holy of holies that old Stephen says, that blood was sprinkled there on that mercy seat, and that sins of that nation was covered up for one year. It was not done away with. Every sin was still upon that person. Every sin was still upon the old saints, every one of them, but they had that blood covering, and that blood covering was just the atonement for one more year, and it rolled over that next year into Calvary. That one next year going towards Calvary, and all those sins every year, once a year that high priest went in there with that sprinkling of the blood, and he just rolled those sins over to one more year. He rolled those sins over to one more year until we find out that John was baptizing at the river of Jordan. He saw Jesus Christ coming, and he said, "You know what? Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." Not the atonement for the sins, not the covering for the sin. It says to take away the sins of the world. And old Stephen says, you know, that's what you've done. You killed the Son of God. You killed the glory of glory, the man that come to take away the sins of the world. But you see, the same resurrection power, he rose again. I'm serving a living Savior. I'm serving a living God. And the reason we're here today, and the reason we believe what the Word of God says, and the reason we can come today and worship of Jesus Christ, because we believe that resurrection power raised Jesus Christ up, and that same resurrection power that raised Jesus Christ up, one of these days before long, we close our eyes in sleep, as it said, as Stephen went to sleep, one of these days, you know, that we're going to be raised again. Why? Because we believe what God says. I went away and I prepared a place for you. When I prepare the place for you, I'll come again and receive you into myself, and where you are, where I am, you shall be there also. They believe what old Stephen has said, but you see, they ran on him. They didn't like what he said. You know what they done? They put him to death. They put old Stephen to death. You may have to learn to stand alone. He was filled with wisdom to speak for Christ about the Savior, about the Scriptures, about the sanctuaries, and is full of power to stand for Christ. As we see that he began to stand, as he talked about these Scriptures, he stood. And while he was doing all, while he was doing this preaching, it says there in Acts chapter 51 and 52, 71 and 52, ye stiff necks and uncircumcised heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have ye not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them with slew them before coming of the just one, of whom you have been now betray and the murderers. They heard these things, heard the sermons. You know what he was doing? God said, Jesus Christ says, you are the salt of the earth. Let your speech always be seasoned with salt. You know what he's doing? He was throwing salt. I'm going to tell you, that is the gospel. Salt preserves, salt cleanses, salt flavors. But I'm going to tell you what, salt irritates a burn. And I'm going to tell you, he threw the salt of the gospel into those burning sores of that putrefied people of that time, the wounds of this old world. And I'm going to tell you, it still takes its effect. I stand here, anybody stands and preaches the Word of God, there'll be people that gets mad and they won't come back. They won't want to believe what the Word of God says. They mad at a preacher. They mad at the Word of God. They mad at the world. Why? Because the salt been thrown in the deep wounds of their sin. And they won't come back. And they'll leave out. But I'm going to tell you, that salt will still burn. They won't get away from that salt. When you rub salt in the gospel of this old wicked world, I'm going to tell you, that salt will make an effect. It'll make effect regardless of what they are. Full of wisdom to speak for Christ, but full of power to stand for Christ. Stand. Stand. You see, when you stand, you may be put to death. It takes courage. Well, you say Stephen was a very special person. No, he was just an average person. He was just a normal person, but he's full of spirit. Courage is fear that have said its prayers. It's only as different with Stephen. Courage is not so much the absence of fear, but mostly it's because it has the majesty of fear under control. Stephen is doing what is describing to this bunch of people exactly how they are. They're stiff-necked and resist the Holy Spirit of God. That's all that I have to do. To just tell people exactly what the Word of God says. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28. And fear not them which have killed the body, but are not able to destroy the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both the soul and the body in hell. If you kneel before God, you can stand before man. I'm going to tell you what. He is able to stand. Why? Because he put down his roots. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 and 8, it says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. It says, be there thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of your Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but be thou partakers of the affliction of the gospel according to the power of God. Faith to suffer for Christ. Faith to suffer for Christ. I'm going to tell you, faith will not get you out of difficulties. Faith might get you in more difficulties, but it will enable you to suffer when you have to stand alone. The Bible says all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Many a person has asked me, why does that son of God, so precious son of God, why does that son of God suffer? You know, it's not the great question of why the saints of God suffer, some saints of God suffer, but the great question why some of the saints is not suffering. That is one of the great questions. You see, well, how about old Peter? He had great faith, and he preached, and 3,000 souls got saved. I like that. Well, I tell you, how about the faith of old Stephen? He preached, and he got 3,000 stones. Stephen was the first martyr to die for his faith. Persecution does not make martyrs. It only reveals them. Jesus said, "Ye shall be my martyrs." And then we know what Acts chapter 58, 59, and 60, as I then read, they cast him out. I'm going to tell you, and stoned Stephen, and he went to sleep in the Lord. Stephen was able to stand. 2,000 years ago, we had a martyr. But I want to tell you, and just to close in just a few minutes, and I never do have time to get through my sermon. In 1999, April the 20th, Littleton, Colorado, Columbine High. That bring anything to y'all's attention? There were several young Christians was martyred for their faith. There was a young girl named Cassie Manal. Cassie Manal was a 17-year-old girl, long blonde hair, down to her waist. And the story goes, back whenever she was in the ninth grade, she was a very troubled girl. She was going down the wrong road, as many young girl and boy does, and drugs and alcohol and witchcraft, and even thought about suicide. Boy, I tell you, she was a bitter young girl. But their mother and her mother and father put the foot down and says, "Got to stop here." Whenever they did, you know, any time that you do that, there'll always be a battle. When you decide that Satan is not going to have your children, there'll always be a battle. If some mothers and fathers today, the members of our church, would decide that I'm going to bring my children to the house of God, there'll always be a battle. If they would just decide that Satan is not going to have my children and bring them to the house of God and put their foot down, I'll tell you, there'll be a battle. My mother and father was not going to allow the devil to get their children. So they allowed her to go to her church and go to youth camp. And she went to youth camp so many times as our children go to youth camp. And at youth camp, she met Jesus Christ. And she said it was like somebody in a dark room and it turned the light on for her. Mother and father, when she come back, she said, "I've changed." And she said, "I will prove it." She become a teacher and a leader in her church, her youth group. And they worked with drug addicts and prostitutes. She grew her long hair and she was ready to cut it off to give it to their little cancer patients, boys and girls, to make wigs out of. But there was a fatal day that come when the boy in that trench coat with that gun began to spray bullets that morning in that school in that cafeteria. Shot several in the cafeteria and they moved up to the library where Cassie Bernard was reading her Bible in school. And the boy said, "All Christians stand up." Cassie Bernard had a little bracelet on her hand. WWJD, what would Jesus do? "All Christians stand up." Cassie stood up. He looked at her, asked her a question. "Do you believe in God?" And I believe God must have whispered to her ear in Luke chapter 21 and 12 says, "But for all these things they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, deliver you up into synagogues and into prison. Bring forth before kings and rulers for my name's sake, and it shall turn you for a testimony. Settle it before in your heart, not to meditate before what you shall answer. For I'll give you a mouth and wisdom which all the adversaries shall not be able to gain." I believe he must answer that question. But God, he said, "Do you believe in God?" Cassie said, "Yes, I believe in God." He said, "Why?" And before she could answer, he blew her face off. What did she find at youth retreat that gave her the strength to stand and to face death? What she found is what everybody ought to find this day in Jesus Christ, a cure for a troubled heart.
John chapter 14 to 1, believe in God, believe also in me. You believe in God, that's intellectual faith. But it says, also believe in me, that's relationship faith. John chapter 2, Jesus says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would tell you, I go to prepare a place for you. There was another girl in that school at the same time called Rachel Scott. Rachel Scott was another 17-year-old girl. He asked her, do you believe in God? She said, yes, I believe in God. And then he said, go be with him. And he put a bullet in her temple. Cassie Manal said to her mother a few days before, Mother, it would be okay if I died. I would go to a better place. And you'd know where I'm at. Deuteronomy 30 and 19 says, I set before you life and death, blessing and cursings. Therefore, all you people here today, it says, choose life that both thou, you, and your family, and your seeds, and your great-grandkids and on shall have life. Do you believe in Jesus? Are you able to stand? These two girls stood in what we call the modern day martyrs, just like old Stephen was able to stand. What will you stand for today? Will you stand for Jesus Christ? I want to ask you today as they come for a song of invitation. You know the day as we sing this song, if you don't want to stand for Christ, you'll just sit right where you at. But if you want to stand for Christ, when we start singing a song, you are to get up. You are to get up. It's time for us to get up, wake up, and stand up for Jesus Christ. What are you going to stand for? You know, God hadn't asked us to be a martyr, but you know what? He's asked us to live for him. These services that we have at Pleasant Hill Baptist Church is prepared for you. They prepared for sinners. They prepared for people that saved. Where have you been at? Don't ever let one of these services pass. He said, you choose. It's before you. It's up to you. Whatever you want to do, are you going to stand as we have this number?